So as the giver of communication, how easy is that, right? And as the receiver of communication, you can be a more active, engaged recipient and confident recipient of communication. So the giver and the receiver can trust the process, trust the communication. It isn't a moving target. I don't have to look multiple different places trying to find information. I know that there's one go-to place.
Welcome to Culture Change RX, the podcast for healthcare professionals that are committed to creating a thriving workplace culture, improving the experiences of employees and patients, and ultimately unlocking their organization's next level of potential. I'm Sue Tetzloff, your host and co-founder of Capstone Leadership Solutions. Join me and my insightful guests each week as we share actionable insights for navigating the crucial people side of the business of healthcare. Subscribe now for a weekly dose of Culture Change RX. Now let's dive into this week's conversation where culture change takes center stage.
Welcome to the Culture Change RX podcast. This is Sue Tetzloff, your host, and today I'm bringing to you one of our short single topic episodes that we call Culture Bites, and today's focus is on communication. And in particular, a topic that we call noise or splatter as a communication challenge or problem that we can overcome. So many of us have heard the quote by George Bernard Shaw that says, the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. So we get this feedback from our employees in our workplace as leaders way too often, right? This real evidence that says the communication did not take place. So maybe it's an example where a leader weeks ago communicated about a policy change, and yet they happen upon one or more employees that didn't know, that didn't get the memo, that didn't get the message. And, you know, they'll say something like, why am I the last to know? How come somebody didn't tell me? And you as the leader are like, I told you. And so it's a very common and frustrating problem, not only for leaders and givers of communication, but you can imagine that it's frustrating for those that need to receive the communication, right? Those employees that do need to know about the policy change so they can do their best work. So this is a challenge to be overcome in organizations and in cultures is how do we effectively communicate? So what we see happen way too often and in response to this feedback that we're getting that we're communicating something and it wasn't received, right? And the people that needed to know didn't know. So in response to that, as leaders, one of the mistakes we can make is something that we call splatter. And what we mean by that is because maybe we tried to communicate this policy change this one way and people didn't get it, we next time put out two or three different ways to communicate it, thinking, okay, if I put it out more ways, then more people will get it. And then you still then get that feedback again that there's people that didn't know. And so the next time you try different ways or even more ways, and pretty soon everything you're trying to communicate, or at least those really important things, you start having so many different ways that you're communicating and you're changing up the ways you're doing it, trying to figure out that sweet spot or to get to that point where everybody knows. And so that's actually against what needs to happen. Because if you keep doing this, you're creating a moving target, right? So I heard about it this way last time. Leader says that didn't work. So they change it up again. And then the employees hear it this way. So we've got this moving target about where information is. And so employees don't have one place, one way to go get information. It's coming at them maybe multiple ways, multiple directions, and those ways are changing. And so there's this confusion, there's this splatter of information, and that splatter is changing every time. And so it's very fatiguing. We call this noise, we call this splatter. It's very fatiguing and confusing to those who need to receive communication. And so the answer, as you can suspect, I might say, is to have one way, one channel for a specific thing to be communicated. So let's use this example of policy changes. So if I'm a laboratory manager and I set up a communication plan that says there's only this one way that we're going to communicate policy changes, and I'm always going to communicate them this way. And especially when we can put it on timing. Let's say that every Friday, if there's any policy changes, there'll be a red piece of paper on our communication board in our break room, and it will say, here's any policy changes that were made this week, right? And so maybe sometimes it's none, but employees know if they want to get any information on policy changes, every Friday they can look at this board, they can look at that red paper, and they can know on that board whether there's been policy changes or there's no policy changes. So as the giver of communication, how easy is that, right? And as the receiver of communication, you can be a more active, engaged recipient and confident recipient of communication. So the giver and the receiver can trust the process, trust the communication. It isn't a moving target. I don't have to look multiple different places trying to find information. I know that there's one go-to place. So when we can create a plan as leader that's very specific, and especially when we include the method of communication and the timing of it. So we help leaders set up plans and even entire organizations. So having local level plan and an organization-wide plan that's very specific. So we need to streamline and simplify and get very specific about what our communication methods are and the timing of them. So one thing we recommend is like setting up, what's our daily communication? Maybe it's a huddle. And what do we communicate at huddles? And we're just razor sharp focused on, we do it daily, it's at this time, and this is where you get this communication weekly. Maybe we have a Friday Five communication, or maybe we have that policy communication. Maybe we have both, but it's very specific. So both the giver and the receiver can honor that process. They can trust that process. And now we have effective communication. And then maybe having a monthly method as well. So once we have this very systematic, what's the channel? Is it visual? Is it verbal? Is it electronic? What's the method? When is it happening? It's always on Friday before noon, right? Or it's always on daily at this time. It's always monthly on the first Monday of the month. So when we get that specific and there's one way, one channel, certain things that are communicated in that way, using that channel, in that timing, then we have effective communication. So now we have more active participants in communication. Our receivers are more active and engaged, more trusting in the communication. And you as the giver, man, this gets easy, right? If you're a giver of communication and you need to get information out, it gets easy. You don't have to have multiple ways that you have to pull off. You don't have to think about how you're going to get it out. You just follow the plan. And of course, like anything, you study, adjust over time. You get input from your employees. If we're only going to communicate policy changes one way, what's that one way we're all going to agree on? And then we're all going to follow that. So if an employee says to you, I didn't know about that policy change, and you as the leader followed that one way that has been known by everyone that this is how it's going to happen, and you honored that, then you know where the communication problem is, right? They didn't seek the information. So it's that push versus pull. They can pull the information. They can seek the information. I'll give a great example of this just to close this out here. So my husband is a physician, a family practitioner, and he's been in practice for more than four decades in a community hospital. In that community hospital, every first of the month, no matter what, on the very first of the month, even if it's a holiday, so January 1st is a holiday, and even on that holiday, there is a communication that comes out by email. People say sometimes email is not effective, but this example shows you that communication can be effective in email if it's timed and it very specifically has a purpose. So on the first of the month, the CEO of the hospital where he is a provider, that CEO puts out a communication that's an update on major projects and the organization's top strategic goals that year. The organization always sets 3 to 8 very specific goals. It's got some major projects that are part of their strategic plan. And every single first of the month, an email comes out with an update to everyone, all providers, all employees, all leaders, all board members. This one email comes out to everybody that gives them the latest update on what happened in the last month related to these things and what's coming up next month related to these things. And that comes out every single month. And this has been so consistent, right? And it's so known. And everybody knows what this communication's about, when it's going to happen, where to go get it. And so my husband, who has a computer at home where he goes on there to do his electronic records at home, right? So he's got this office at home with a computer. I've watched him on a January 1st, a holiday, go to his work computer at home and get that email and read it. Now, that's amazing, right? A physician taking time on their holiday to go to their computer and read this email. One, because knew it was there. It's important stuff. He trusted it would be there even on a holiday, and it made it easy for him to be an active participant in receiving information, important information about the organization that he works for, right? Now, what if that CEO didn't consistently do that? Maybe he sent out an email once in a while, right? Maybe it was once a month, but sometimes it was on Wednesday, and sometimes it was on the third Thursday, and sometimes it was, you know, on the 15th of the month, and sometimes he was late, etc., right? He's not going to get that same receiver behavior, right? Of a provider going to his computer very specifically looking for that information and taking that information in. It's that consistency, always in an email, always on the first of the month, always including these very specific things. That's the kind of methods. And you're going to need more than one method, right, for getting all the things you need to communicate, because there's lots of things we need to communicate. But when we can have very designated, specific plans for what we're going to communicate, when we're going to communicate it, and we're going to be very, very consistent with that instead of splattering, changing it up in timing and ways that we're communicating, doing it many ways. Now it's fatiguing, it's chaotic, etc. So less is more. And now the plan becomes the promise. And every time we honor that promise, we build trust in our culture. So we're not just building great communication practices, we are building trust. We are honoring, as givers and receivers, we're honoring our part in great communication and having a culture of great communication. So there we go. That's our Solo Bite episode for this week on this idea that less is more, consistency is king, and we need to have a new way, a better way, a more streamlined way of communicating that everyone can trust.
Thanks for tuning in to Culture Change RX. If you found value in today's episode and you are a believer in fostering change in healthcare, join us in making a difference. Follow, rate, and review our podcast on your favorite platform. Share it with colleagues and your network. Together, we can make a lasting impact. Until next week, keep inspiring positive change.